Future Commerce is brought to you by DotMailer. DotMailer is faster, smarter, and better email marketing automation. DotMailer is trusted by thousands of leading brands around the world. You can start your free trial today at dotmailer.com/futurecommerce and be sure to use the offer code FUTURECOMMERCE for 20% off applicable DotMailer packages. Future Commerce is brought to you by Link. Link makes your customers' post-purchase experience something they love through breakthrough innovation in artificial intelligence. Be sure to stick around to the middle of the show for a special offer. You can visit Link online today at letslink.com/podcast. That's letslink.com/podcast.
Welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Brian.
I'm Philip.
And today we're talking about...
Philip's Gmail ringing Google, in the background.
Google Fi. Google
Goodness Fi. Gracious. Google Again. Fi is right.
No, today we're talking about, well, Amazon.
Again. Amazon. Gosh, okay. Just fair warning. We are talking 1.5, 2 hours after the announcement that Amazon is buying Whole Foods. So if you don't want to hear an entire show about us geeking out about Amazon and or Whole Foods or avocado water or asparagus toast or whatever it is the millennials are talking about these days, then I would suggest you skip this show. But we want you to stick around. Please stick around.
Wait, no, we're going to talk about some other stuff too.
Oh, we will start. Oh, yeah, dude, we will talk about some other stuff.
Dude, you've done a couple of cool things lately that I want.
Yeah. You know, I want you to do. Gosh. Well, first of all, okay. So
let's start with that.
What was the announcement, Brian?
Okay. Well, we already said what the announcement was in a previous episode. I can't.
He called it.
Which episode.
You called it.
You. No. So
you called it, and I poo-pooed it. I said that'll never happen in the history of ever. Which is basically the death knell for me to be accurate about anything. Basically, someone who was it? It was Kaylin Jordan from the Mage Talk podcast, my co-host on the Mage Talk podcast. He said somebody needs to create an ETF that basically tracks the things that he's super into, but 18 months. Like 18 months in retro or something. Like he's always behind the curve on these things. So I think if you married that ETF with things that I say will never happen, like seriously, we could we're incredible market predictors. But you were right on this. You called this on our show. You called
Dude,
it.
I don't know. So we need to clarify what episode that's in because I don't know if it was 35. I think you said it was in 35, but I'm not sure if it was in 35.
It might be 32. We are having our crack team of content reviewers going back through our episodes to find where it is now.
Yeah. Or if it even actually made it into the audio.
It's in an episode. I promise you it's in an episode. We'll find it.
I swear, like, we talk about this stuff on the show and we talk about it off the show and I start to lose track of like what's on the show.
Yeah. My biggest gripe in this whole thing is not whether you and I predicted it or not. It's that all of my Snap earnings have been erased in the past 2 weeks and Whole Foods is up 27% on the day. So yeah, I'm a pretty angry guy today. It's no good.
Dude, brutal. Brutal.
Okay, but let's talk about the retail and commerce impact here. I think Whole Foods 491 stores in US and Canada, I believe.
Let's just talk about the fact that they have all those stores and this is Amazon's first true play into brick and mortar because let alone grocery because I think we can get into grocery all on its own. And what they're going to be able to do with that. This is a landmark moment in retail. Like this may be, I'm going to step out of limb.
Temper the excitement.
No, this might be one of the, I'll say it this way. This is the most exciting acquisition that I've seen in the past 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of a prior acquisition that had is well that was as as exciting as far as the tech space. Software is ruling the world, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of incredible. Jeff Lewis on Twitter saying emulating Jeff Bezos saying, "Alexa, buy me something from Whole Foods." Alexa says, "Buying Whole Foods." Bezos is like, "Shit." which I felt like was incredible. Because
the
question
is, they deliver in 2 days or not?
Bob Moore, who's VP of Business Intelligence at Magento, says Amazon buying Whole Foods for $13.7 billion. It was originally $13 billion, but then they picked up some asparagus water in the checkout line, which I thought was really good. Anyway, just to correct myself, 431 stores. So actually, someone with real commentary here is a Wall Street Journal financial editor, Dennis Berman, on Twitter saying Amazon did not just buy Whole Foods grocery stores. It bought 431 upper income prime location distribution nodes for everything it does.
Right.
And I think that is the takeaway. That is the one sentence.
It's grocery. Yeah, we can get into grocery, but let's just focus on the fact that Whole Foods is a premium brand, like he said, in premium spots all throughout the nation in North America.
Yeah.
And, you know, Amazon has access to all of that now. Yeah. That is mind-blowing.
What's incredible is, okay, so think about the impacts that this now has in major metropolitan and you know, high-end or upper-end urban and suburban areas where Whole Foods has strategically placed itself. And we now have a true omni-channel grocery retailer in every major city of the United States. And with the possibility of full digital integration. And so Slate.com, Willa Ramis writing at Slate an opinion piece saying this forces every Whole Foods customer, of which they have millions, to sit very seriously think about Amazon Prime, maybe Alexa, and now maybe potentially having Amazon Fresh in every major city. Like, this is, yeah, I'm with you in the excitement train. Choo choo, everybody, all aboard the excitement train. This is happening. This may actually be the last great omni-channel tech acquisition of our lifetimes prior to the next great recession, because I think that this doesn't change the fact that consumer expectations and the world or in the U.S. economy, depending on, especially being a services economy, depending on low wage workers working at stores like this, like Whole Foods could very well be doing great. They are a grocery chain. We're usually going to need groceries. I don't know that we always need high-end groceries that are in this market. But overall, the retail sector is down in the U.S. Whole Foods is not going to prop that up. And so I think that this could be the last. This is like signals the beginning of the end. I'm going to take the contrarian approach. I'm so excited for this. But this is the beginning of the end for, you know, the good news that we have in the retail sector. In the U.S., I really think that we have a regression to the mean about to happen. We've had 10 pretty great boom years, and I think we're gonna see a contraction, continued contraction, because we're already seeing it. Gymboree, which was suffering, and now in private equity the last 7-8 years, Gymboree closing hundreds of stores nationwide. That just came out this week. And that's a huge baby brand. So I'll take the bearish approach. You take the bullish approach, and I want to hear some of your thoughts.
So, I think your bearish approach here is not far off in a certain sense. It's true for the majority of retail. It's not true for consumers. I'm bullish for consumers right now. I think,
yeah, like consumer enablement or consumer experience, just got a whole lot better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. So Yeah, if you're a retailer out there, you know, I would be concerned. If you're a consumer out there, I'd be ecstatic. And so this, you know, essentially what Amazon is forcing now, they're really taking the attack on retail to the next level and bringing the heat. If you can't come up with innovative solutions and deliver, you know, the best possible service and products to your customers, you're going to lose because that's what Amazon is doing.
I mean, Whole Foods, for them to own the whole market. Okay. First of all, grocery is an incredibly regional business, like incredibly regional. In fact, it might be one of the last great regional, and usually privately owned chain sort of stores in what is an increasingly global or national retail brand strategy or landscape that we have. So I'm still bearish on the fact that Whole Foods is incredibly high end. Amazon, again, still focusing on the incredible high end. Amazon Go, obviously, now these are not things that just happen overnight. This obviously was an entire strategy with the Go play sitting in the Whole Foods space. I think it was a test. It was a test of a particular theory for the consumer experience rolling out to a larger audience. But 400 stores is nothing. You know, 431 stores is small. It's a drop in the bucket for Amazon to have market dominance. And I think customers will flock to these stores, but most of middle America cannot afford to shop at Whole Foods for everything. Whether or not the convenience is there, it doesn't matter.
What about their 365 brand? That is an unbelievable brand. Like they're
you'll have generic. To educate me because I am an above average earner in the United States, and I don't think I can afford to shop at Whole Foods regularly. So you'll have to educate me on this. So what is the 365 brand?
Is it 365 or 360? Now I'm doubting myself.
It doesn't. You could. No, you're only five off. You're 5% or five.
Yeah, 365. So this is their sort of one generic, like generic brands of organic, of organics, and they have what they call their 365 stores, which are sort of their down market stores, and so. Well, I shouldn't say down market. It's more, you know, it's a generic smaller store that enables people to get organic food at a relatively reasonable price. And I'm not saying that I shop at Whole Foods regularly because I don't. I don't actually have a Whole Foods market that near to my house, but yeah. I live, you know, a ways outside Seattle.
Which would be a prime market, right? A Seattle, Portland, you know, that sort of demographic is kind of really open to it. According to their site, there's only four 365 by Whole Foods that are in existence with 10 more planned. So,
yeah. So as far as their stores go, yes. As far as the brand goes, that's in every Whole Foods
got market.
So the cool thing about 365 is, you know, it's, you know, still premium brands. Like, I don't know if you've ever, if you've seen like Kroger's or Safeway's,
yeah, sure.
Like their premium generic organic brands. So it's actually in line with those, like as far as price point goes, at least in my experience, like a gallon of organic milk, from the 365 brand is pretty comparable to, sort of, I think any other generic organic milk brand.
Would you agree that organic foods in general cost more than the normal store brand alternative?
If you're going up against brand name alternatives, sometimes. It's the same price. If you're going up against sort of generic brands or discounted brands or sale items, then yeah, I would agree that
The majority of Americans, like
organic vegetables and fruits and meats, are definitely more expensive. So the majority of Americans are not buying organic right now. That said, now with Amazon in control of the 365 brand, I cannot wait to see what they do with it. That's a powerful thing to have in the hands of a company that is at the forefront of innovation.
Yes, and I completely agree with you there. I think it's it is up there. But the majority of Americans are getting their groceries at Walmart, you know, Target, Costco, Aldi, and those are the big national chains. I don't know. And those are super centers where they can get all kinds of things. Now, I know Whole Foods definitely has a diversification of the kinds of products that you can get there. You can get paper goods, et cetera. I don't know that you can get electronics at a Whole Foods. The point I'm making is that there's still a convenience factor, an accessibility factor, a rural America factor that I think that this is one. This is the beginning of a transformation for Amazon, but not necessarily a transformation of the grocery retail space. You know, 400 stores is a dent, but it's not a death blow to any one of the major, you know, grocery chains.
No, certainly not. You know, and I think there's a bit of a long. I mean, this is a long term play. I don't think that you're going to see major changes over the next year or two. Maybe a few. Obviously, I think, the first thing that's going to happen is Amazon's going to offer more fresh products via delivery, probably. Or, I mean, just imagine being able to shop for Whole Foods catalog on Amazon.com. Like, that's mind-blowing. and how that gets to you, whether you pick it up in-store or Amazon figures out a way to ship it to you, I don't know exactly how that's going to play out, but I am really excited. I mean, I think this is, like you mentioned, premeditated. There's no doubt that they've got plans for what to do with this. It's not, okay, let's just buy this because it's a good thing for us to buy. I mean, Whole Foods has been one of the best success stories in grocery over the past 10 years. I think Amazon is paying a bit of a premium. Like, if they wanted to go get just a straight up, you know, grocery store, they probably could have got something for less. Or
possibly. It was a very smart, definitely very smart and logical choice for the future of the Amazon brand. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, Amazon is coming after Walmart hard because I think they're feeling the same thing from Walmart right now.
Yeah.
You can't help but wonder if this is a response to Walmart's recent wave of acquisitions that are going sort of upmarket with Moose Jaw and ModCloth and the like.
Sure.
Also, I should look this up, but I think Amazon is also introducing a Prime plan for low-income households. I think they're going to make it like $6. I need to go look this up again. So I guess what I'm getting at, this is just sort of another thing where I think Amazon's coming after Walmart as much as Walmart's coming after Amazon.
The markets are reacting. I mean, market open, Whole Foods is up 30-some% on the day. But Super Value, which is parent brand for a bunch of grocery chains, including Albertsons, down 12%, Kroger down 15%, Target down 10%, Costco down 6%. So the markets are reacting. They think that this is a big deal, and having effect in the sector. So what do I know? But I also think that there is probably a large overlap of a Whole Foods, consumer to, the Amazon consumer. But I don't know, there has to be some, well, I hate the word synergy, but there has to be some synergy between the brands at some point in the future, which make it feel like a cohesive experience. This is just too big of an opportunity for Amazon to support the Amazon brand, but the Whole Foods brand is no slouch, right? And Amazon, especially, you know, Bezos tweeting yesterday, looking that he wants to increase his philanthropy efforts. And the thing that I think about at Whole Foods is, yeah, well, it might represent the, you know, sort of the pinnacle of, you know, your own health, but Whole Foods is one of the largest wasters of prepared foods in the United States of America. In that they have a lot of hot bar foods and salad bar, and a lot of that food goes to waste. And so there's some good conversation I think to be had around the way that maybe Amazon can bring some sanity to Whole Foods in the way that they're you know, doing their costing, supply chain, and maybe even in their sustainability, to make that brand even more you know, philanthropic. So that's a thought that I had as well. But I think it's good for both brands, you know?
It is. I think it's a good, like, just from like a, like, yeah, like you mentioned, from a synergy standpoint, like these are definitely compatible brands. And
sure.
I think, you know, culturally, they definitely align. I think, you know, if anything, maybe Whole Foods is even more progressive than Amazon is in certain sense, which is great. I think it'll, I'm hoping that these both sort of rub off on each other in some ways.
Yeah. I have to wonder now if every single Alexa device in existence has just become a built-in advertising channel for Whole Foods.
I don't think they'll use it that way. I don't see that happening. You know, Amazon's pretty good about, you know, bringing about synergy between their departments, but they're also pretty good about, you know, being siloed in a good way, I think. and so they're not going to compromise the integrity of the Echo product or the Alexa product because they want to cross promote Whole Foods. I don't see that happening.
Yeah. I can see that. I can see that too. I also have to wonder too, if, you know, Amazon just does a wonderful job at building value into Prime. And, you know, a lot of that is on the digital side, which has no, you know, physical inventory. You know, digital downloads are sort of an infinite consumable. So I'm curious how they would see the grocery end. And I don't live near an Amazon Fresh. I'm not an Amazon Fresh market, which would be nice.
Not many people are.
Yeah. So I don't know how Amazon handles grocery other than the delivery aspect. But I have to wonder if there's an advantage to Prime or a same day delivery channel that could open up here and hook more people into Prime and build more value for Prime. And it's also, you know, introduces the potential for Prime memberships to also, you know, have another rate increase. And they've been steadily increasing the rate of that year on year. So I, you know, building more value into Prime, especially with access to grocery now, and potentially some additional services available through grocery. I mean, can you imagine Amazon same day pickups at every Whole Foods, if not same day delivery in your neighborhood, having Amazon lockers? That it just becomes such a natural thing because now they have retail space. There's so much that they could do there. But it's going to have to be gradual, and I don't think that this is an overnight, you know, transformation. Future Commerce is brought to you by DotMailer. DotMailer is used by thousands of marketers around the world. It has quick and easy campaign creation with a world-class intuitive interface. The DotMailer team is always on hand, from email creation, creative, and delivery to dedicated consultancy, helping you build your own success story. DotMailer is built to play well with others. You can build your own marketing cloud by extending DotMailer or integrating it with your existing e-commerce and business platforms. Become a smarter, faster, better marketer and create sophisticated and measurable campaigns with DotMailer. Go to dotmailer.com/futurecommerce to start your free trial today, and be sure to use the offer code FUTURECOMMERCE for 20% off DotMailer packages. Thanks again to DotMailer for supporting Future Commerce. Link is the best way to get your customers coming back to buy again. Link's Cortex AI platform creates rich relationships with every customer at every touch point on every platform. From Magento to Shopify, Hybris and Demandware, over 300 logistic and reverse logistic carriers around the world are integrated with Link. Link brings your brand to where customers are on Facebook Messenger, Alexa, SMS, and more. Let Link add the power of artificial intelligence to your business. For a limited time, Future Commerce listeners can claim an exclusive trial offer for 30 days free of Link Cortex. Sign up today and visit them online at letslink.com/podcast. That's letslink.com/podcast.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not overnight. This is going to be a thing that happens over a period of time. You know, and Amazon's done a very good job with that. Like, Amazon's not an overnight success story. It's a very like,
yeah,
you know, it's a very calculated and like step by step. I'm not saying it's not speedy. It's happening fast, but it's not overnight. They've been very like measured about how they've done things. So I think that will happen here as well.
Yeah. So what's your hot take here? This is a good thing.
My hot take that is it a good thing?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as far as like general economy and consumer, like benefit to consumer, which is really what I like to see, this is an awesome thing. I think this is going to be, this will be another trailblazing moment where everyone looks at it and they're like, well, okay, now how do we respond to this?
Sure.
And honestly, not many people are going to have response. This is going to create more chaos in retail, like you mentioned. Like, This is Gymboree is just one of many names ahead to close more stores. Which, hey, I mean, if you're going to be getting into like purchasing retail space, just wait a little bit longer because. And maybe that's Amazon's entire play here as well.
Yeah.
Like, let's get to know how to do this brick and mortar thing, because there's going to be a huge market opportunity. And then not too distant future, we're going to be able to snap up all of these stores that are going under for a song and a dance. So, think about that. Market opportunity on retail space here is going to be, it's going to be really... Like, it's going to be a good deal.
Yeah, sure. Who are Amazon's competitors now from a general, you know, just a general goods retailer?
Well, I mean, at this point now, I mean, in obviously Amazon's competing with Kroger and high end, smaller, upscale, grocery chains, like out here in the Northwest, we have one called PCC. That would be a good example. They're competing with Costco. Absolutely. Costco sells an insane amount of organic food and wine, which, well, you know, Whole Foods is also a pretty big wine retailer.
Sure.
So I think they're definitely I think Amazon's coming up against Costco just as much as they're coming up against Walmart with this acquisition.
Yeah.
And I mean, who else? I mean, are they not competing with?
Well, I'm thinking back to 5-7 years ago. Amazon would have probably been compared to, you know, Walmart, eBay. You know, Amazon would have been a digital commerce retailer competing with eBay. eBay basically just, you know, isn't even, you know, third in that race anymore online. And so my you know, and if, in fact, actually, I had a list of things for us to talk about on our next episode, one of which was Flipkart acquiring eBay India, which I felt was like really interesting. That's not even on my radar anymore. eBay basically isn't even, you know, competing. And that used to, eBay used to be, you know, a force to be reckoned with. So eBay's out of the game. Walmart all of a sudden has had a brand transformation, and their digital marketplace. Mark Lohr. I mean, it's got to be more than one person, but I do see that transformation taking place, and that's huge, right? That's so Walmart becoming a digital e-commerce marketplace retailer has transformed its brand. I'm curious. I wonder if in the next 5 years, if this plays out in a certain way, where Amazon becomes the crusty, you know, the crusty old, you know, they start having transformation the other direction.
I mean, I think a lot of people have kind of said that. The reason why I don't think that's true is because of their business model. Like, their business model is broad. Rod, let's throw every innovation at the wall that we can possibly think of and see what sticks and then invest in that business.
Sure.
And so, like, they could have, you know, Amazon could have stayed the Walmart of the internet.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
But
and they still are.
They still are. They still are. But they also have all kinds of other things going on. Actually, there are rumors. There are rumors. I'm transitioning a tiny bit here, but of Amazon doing a phone, another phone, and doing it in a completely different way. One, making it compatible with Play.
Right.
Two, coming in at a much lower price point, like they should have to begin with. And three, I think they're going to be a lot more like partner focused with this phone. We'll see. The rumor is that it will be called Ice. So it'll be Fire and Ice.
Oh, crying out loud. It's I'm really glad they did that, because otherwise I would probably say on a future show, like, why didn't they just call it the Ice? Cause how cool would that be? Fire and Ice. But actually I've rolled my eyes now. just like the movie, they called it Now You See Me 2, the sequel to Now You See Me. I'm like, you could just call it Now You Don't, you guys. Like, that would be, how insane would that be? Anyway, I'm really interested to see how this plays out. I think, you know, this is a public company. Whole Foods is a public company. There will probably be some people that aren't too thrilled about this acquisition. I can see, you know, certainly people that are concerned, about the corporate culture, Whole Foods, you know, sort of, they have a very specific, sort of corporate culture that I think has been mocked and parodied in you know, comedy and media and in a bunch of different ways. In fact, if you remember, did you ever see, what was the Tina Fey movie? Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, where Amy Poehler is the surrogate mom for Tina Fey's baby.
I can't remember if I actually watched that. It was that forgettable, or I just didn't actually watch it.
No, it was such a good movie. It was actually a really, really funny movie, Baby Mama. So that particular movie, Tina Fey character works for what would be, you know, basically an early version of Whole Foods, which is, you know, a much larger chain now. But 10 years ago when the movie came out, it was like funny, sort of the corporate culture there, sort of being around mindfulness and spontaneous meditation, and also, you know, gentrification sort of playing into, you know, depressed neighborhoods and all kinds of really interesting things. But Amazon is the opposite of that. Amazon, we see story after story after story of people who are internal to the Amazon culture, who feel like they're overworked for nominal pay, who are incredibly...
Not for nominal pay.
It's nominal. It's nominal in the industry.
Oh, like in the warehouse. Yes, that's true.
No, I'm saying that, you know, Amazon's supply chain and fulfillment, you know, relies heavily on, you know, lower middle income employment. Yeah, but they, you know, when they're what's interesting there is that they're trying to take jobs away from retail, and they're offering just a little bit more above what current retail is being paid. And in fact, it was an interesting story in the Tampa Tribune about a year and a half ago, which I'll have to find and dig up. But there was an interesting story there of Amazon opening one of its distribution centers in the Tampa Bay area, and the effect that it was having on employment in the surrounding suburban retail service industry, because the service sector in that area has been on the decline for ages, especially large retailers like Sports Authority shuttering, and you know, Best Buy kind of closing some stores. A lot of people in those industries not having pay raises for ages, and then Amazon, you know, offering a dollar more an hour. That's like this monumental thing that happened for that area. They're going to hire 500 people for day one. It became like this land grab for a dollar more an hour. I don't think that's so. Amazon sort of being known for very tightly managing its costs, and I think that translates to employee happiness. We've seen a lot of people, especially in the tech realm at Amazon, sort of writing these long sort of whistleblower type exposés on the internal corporate culture. I think that there could be a shakeup there, and Whole Foods is going to have to work hard to protect its own culture from being, taken over by the Amazonians.
That's true. That's actually a really big point, because like being in the Seattle area, I do see Amazon culture. It is a real thing. It is a very strong culture. Like they take it very seriously.
Sure.
They Amazon employees are known for, like, especially ones that kind of come out of college and go into Amazon directly, they have a certain stigma to them. The ones that sort of come into Amazon, you know, from another employer, I think a lot of Amazon employees that I've talked with are this is you know, a little bit anecdotal, but they're either looking to move departments to a department they really want to be in.
Yep.
They're looking to get out after they finish their period. The way that Amazon structures their compensation is basically you get a very large bonus if you stay for a certain period of time.
Got
and
it.
So people are looking to stay for a certain period of time and then get out. And so, it is what it is. It attracts a certain kind of person,
sure.
And, or people that, you know, want to make a chunk of money and then move on to something else. And it's been effective for them. It's not where I want to work. Unless you're in the right department. I think that's the other thing, is like I mentioned that they silo in a good way. And I think that there is some benefit to like siloing by department, culturally as well, because the AWS culture is completely different than the, say, Echo department culture, Echo and Alexa culture. So,
sure.
And
we say that as people who don't work there, right? But I mean, you probably know actual people that work there. I don't. I'm going off of like Wall Street Journal reports.
right. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And I mean, I would just say if you do get an offer from Amazon, you know, try to find out from the people that are actually in that department how they feel about that department.
And let's hope that they give you full transparency, but that's beside the point. Yeah. So my hot take here is this is good for Amazon, probably not so great for Whole Foods, employees. Amazon seems to be immune to the earnings, issues. Their stock's in the 900s. They're sort of accustomed to not having to have, you know, massive fat earnings reports with massive growth year over year. They've really well trained their shareholders and that expectation. So I think this could be a great thing for the growth of the Whole Foods brand, and especially Amazon understanding loss leaders. And maybe we could see some great economic impact from that with Whole Foods, you know, adopting some of the Amazon methodology for pricing. So potentially, you know, some benefit too for existing Prime customers, or a new benefit of Prime, or a new level, and maybe local delivery. So yeah, great for the consumer. I'm curious, you know, what the impact is, you know, economically. I don't know that we're going to know that for a long, long time.
Yeah. I want to make a couple points here too. I'm going to make another pseudo prediction. and that is that as Amazon sort of expands its offering to grocery, they're really starting to kind of round out everything, like everything that anyone could ever buy, right?
Yeah.
And so I actually predict that they will start to get into budget and money management. Mm. Kind of like a Mint sort of situation where you track your spending, you know, and I think you're going to have, eventually they're going to have a way for you to really understand what you can afford and help you build budgets that make sense for your family or your household. Because they can really, they can know everything that you buy.
Amazon banking.
I don't know if we're getting into banking or not. This is the second, this leads me to my second point, which is we are seeing a new kind of business here with Amazon. And we talked about monopolies a little bit before, but what we're seeing with Amazon is it's not a monopoly. They've built insane scale by building out into every possible vertical. And as a result, they're building a business that's not a monopoly, but it is its own, like it's an ecosystem of more epic proportions than even Apple's, because sure, it covers so much ground.
They really do. They do literally, you know, everything.
Yeah. And they do a lot of it very well. Like,
sure.
That's the crazy part. So, I think, you know, I wonder if we'll start to see some sort of regulation around, I mean, probably not under this administration, but in the future, and as Amazon continues to grow, I wonder if we'll start to see regulation around, like, this is not a monopoly, but if you don't play with Amazon, you're going to be in trouble. Like, and that's a weird, like, this is a new kind of entity that, of the likes that we've never seen before.
Yeah. And that's a great sort of point just to end it on, I think.
Wait, before we end, I want to add to one more thing. I want to get back to something that I briefly mentioned, earlier, kind of off topic. That is that the Amazon is has just introduced their $5.99 a month Prime plan for low income families.
They didn't say for low income families.
No, it is. It's for low income families.
And where's the qualifier for that?
I think you might have to be on like the SNAP program, basically food stamps. I need to confirm that, but essentially, here it is. Only customers that have valid EBT cards.
Oh, wow.
Yes. That is huge.
But being able to access Amazon Prime services not via SNAP, but you only have access to it if you already have SNAP.
Only if you have a valid EBT card.
I understand. Okay.
Yeah. Now think about this. Think about what kind of shopper shops at Walmart. You know, I've shopped at Walmart. I don't want to generalize, but a lot of low income people shop at Walmart.
Sure.
It's available. It's cheap. It's, you know, they accept EBT. And I think that, you know, they spend a lot of their money at Walmart, and for good reason. If Amazon is opening up their the benefits of being an Amazon customer to that market as well. Mm. I mean, imagine how concerned Walmart is right now. Like, that's a big chunk of their market.
Sure.
I'm not gonna, you know, I don't know how it's gonna actually play out, like if this is actually gonna change buying behaviors, but it's something that Amazon's targeting.
Something definitely to watch. It's part of their strategy, right? Like that's that makes a lot of sense. It's interesting.
They're testing right now to see if they like that would allow online payment with Snap cards. That's insane.
And something that's probably, it's one of those things that sounds like it should have been a thing all along.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. Especially since, you know, the best prices for many things can be found online and probably things that qualify for those programs.
So true.
Very interesting. All right. Well, that's a great place to end it. Amazon continuing to express dominance, especially in retail and in innovation in retail. And so we wait with bated breath. And we want to know what you think. As always, you can leave your voice and your opinions into this conversation at futurecommerce.fm. We just launched a new redesign. Really excited about that. So go check that out. And remember, you can subscribe on Google Play or Apple Podcasts. And remember to leave us a 5-star there and show us some love by visiting one of our sponsors and telling them that you heard us talking about them. And that's going to help us keep the show coming to you every week. But anyway, thank you. Thanks, Brian. This was a great thing. I'm glad that
good session.
Yeah, man. And what's really great about this is that we're putting out content that's relevant like the day it's happening, which I'm really excited about. I'm hoping that we can do that.
If
more
we publish,
often.
If we publish today, that would
it's
be
happening. It's publishing today. It's publishing.
It's publishing today.
Yes, it is.
Sweet. All right. Let's do it.
Well, thanks for listening, and until next time, keep looking toward the future.